TJ, do you know what circuitry alignment is?
Well, I'm not exactly an electrician, but I I have tinkered around with the old TV sets, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
That's not what you're talking about, is it?
No, no, it isn't.
Like if I take apart like an old radio?
Mm-hmm. The old... but it's not that.
Maybe a computer if I went in there. Bzz, bzz,
No, we're going to personalize it a bit for you.
Okay. So you're talking about people.
Actually, we're talking about a modality, a soul modality. Now, you've had the heart thread work done.
Yes, I did.
What the circuitry alignment work is, it's this work where we tune in to your soul, where it's, you know, where the heart chakra is. Well, just under that, mm-hmm. there's this place called the xiphoid process, where the soul seed is right there. It's the same thing, and we tune in there. We feel what the pattern that you're living is, and then we take that pattern up to the swing between worlds, the place all souls go to before they're born, and they discuss what the overview of their life is. And then we ask the guys, I call the spirit realm the guys, the dudes, you know, whoever.
Dudes. Yeah,
right?
They go by the dudes, I think.
Yeah,
that's their
the
official
dudes
name.
A lot of times, yeah. So we ask the guys for your original blueprint or your original pattern, and they infuse it in me as a facilitator, and then very gently, at whatever rate of speed that your system, your physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual bodies are ready to receive this pattern, it gently gets woven in. And it's very profound. This work is so profound. About 8 years ago, I was dying. I woke up. It's a long story. But Flo Aivia Magdalena called me just as I was on my way out. I really was not doing good at all. And she said she got a message to do this work on me. And when it was done, all of a sudden, everything I needed started coming in. These brilliant surgeons, all the help I needed, 75 healers. One thing after another just came flooding in. And I truly equate that or give credit to the circuitry alignment for that, because my whole system aligned with what I'm here to do. And since it was so profound, I went and got trained so I could take people through it, because I really want to support people to live that, you know, the profoundness of their own being. Excuse me. And then what happened, I went and did countless of these sessions and saw people shifting. So now I'm really excited about it, too, because the next step is I'm going next week. Actually, it's November 1st to the 5th to get trained to teach people to be facilitators of the work. I'm very excited. And we have that training, and there's spaces open in case anyone is interested in coming in for a training in Hazleton. You can call the Soul Support System's phone number or check out their website, or you can get a hold of me and I can tell you how to get a hold of somebody. But anyway, that's what that work is. I know I went from one thing to another, but it's all interconnected.
You know, I got a question, Joy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very good one, mind you.
Yes.
If you get this circuitry training, I've got this old TV. No? No?
I'm coming to Michigan in June. Pull out the TV, okay? And we'll see if we can align the TV and your soul. You'll get the two first special.
Let me ask you now. You said that Flo called you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you knew her, I'm guessing, right? She didn't just call you out of the blue, right?
No, I met Flo, I think it was in 1991 or 2, and this happened in 2005.
Hmm. So, And I guess, you know, we've never really talked about it, and this is your site and your show. But how did you get into all this?
How did I get into all what?
Where you're at now. How did you become this? And how did you get to know Flo? And how did you know Soul Support Systems? I mean, how did that come together?
Well, I think it was in 1991. Now, like I said, for 33 years, I had been channeling Christ. And in 1991, I was at a pivotal point in my life where I was really going through massive shifts. And I was dealing with this cycle. And channeling Christ, I had a hard time getting readings done from people. And people didn't quite know what to do to help. And I was meditating. And in meditation, one day I was told to hold on. This really powerful woman was going to come into my life. So I think it was 2 days later, I knew I needed to get some work done. And one of the people that I had read for came to me and told me she knew two people, somebody who did Reiki, and she knew somebody, this woman named Flo. And I knew I had a choice to make. And I chose Flo, and I got a reading from her, and she channeled the ones with no names to me, and it was an amazing experience. It was the first time I ever felt my soul was understood. It was an amazing experience, and I think it took 6 weeks that my whole life had changed.
Just for clarification,
because
people listening may not be familiar with some of the terms you're using. Who are the ones with no names?
Okay. The ones with no names are a body of enlightened knowledge responsible for maintaining order and truth throughout the universe. And they're the ones that also speak to before they're born. And they also are the ones that Christ channeled 2,000 years ago when they, you know, that part in the Bible that speaks of the Beatitudes, the meek shall inherit the earth and all that. Well, that's them. And Magdalene worked with them back then, too. So they were around, and they've been around, and everyone's heard of them, but they've been kept secret for a long time. And since this is the time of the great emerging of all secrets and everything, they're coming out, too. And Flo, I'm sure, will share much more about them because she was the original channel that brought them through, and I'm sure she'll share other stories and things about them. But they're amazing, amazing. They're sometimes called the cosmic guidance counselors.
Okay.
They're able to understand the soul and see things in a totally different way than people can psychologically. They can go to the root core of things. They're amazing, amazing.
They're, and just how
pure
are they?
Love,
how
pure
are
love? Huh?
I guess the curious part of me wants to ask: how are they more aware than like the goddesses that you work with, or something else? Or is there a difference? Or
I like to think of it like this. You know how there's all these different people on the planet, and everybody can look at one thing and have their own perception? Well, it's the same thing with spirit. Every aspect of spirit has its own way of expressing its own light. It's not a personality trait. It's an energy, though. And there are certain attributes that certain frequencies will bring through. Like the galactic people tend to be very directed and very very focused, and sometimes it'll feel almost like information is coming from a high etheric computer somewhere. With the goddesses, there can be a flow of energy and very soft and sweet. Well, with the ones with no name, there's a sweetness, but there's a very distinct frequency or intonation with how they speak. There are times with the readings they give, they're encoded. So I know myself, when I've channeled them, I've actually had people who have had readings, and I know I experienced this with Flo, too, where when you go back and you listen to the reading, you'll discover new things that you didn't hear before. And I don't hear that very often with all readings. I think that's unique with them. I think that the other thing that is so unique with the ones with no names, they have this totally heartful way of speaking in the reading, and they address your soul in a way that when you're being read, you are seen as pure light, and there is no judgment of any kind for anything. It's just beautiful.
So they're seeing you at your highest, if you want to call highest self.
And what they address is that divinity in you. So they see your pure essence, which is just beautiful. And you stop and think about that. How often in your life do people see your pure essence?
I don't know. I don't
That's
know what
rare.
They're seeing. They might look at me and think, this guy's a yo-yo. Who knows what they're thinking?
I think they look at you and they think, oh, look at that sparkly being.
This guy's kind of a clown over here. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, at least that helps define him, because I know, you know, we're going to use terms, and probably most people that listen to this, I mean, people are familiar, but there's new people maybe jumping in, and that's why, you know, when I hear something, I'm going to get a little more definition.
Hey, I'm with you, bro. I think it's
and everybody does, and everybody says things differently, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what
Absolutely.
You do and say is different than with other people and so forth. So
yeah, and we all resonate with different people.
Right. And so you and I, we never really talked about this on any of your shows, neither. You and I have, you're of the belief that you and I have shared more than one time together on this planet.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Oh, absolutely.
The great wise one?
Oh, well, the greater wise one, let me tell you this. I'd have to agree with you on that. It's like, you know, people will say things to you. I've done a lot of shows over the last 5.5 years on my own site. And, you know, sometimes people say, oh, I think they're, and it's certainly possible, but you don't always feel it. And while you told me these things, and we had this, like, this instant connection, and we could talk to each other and just say anything, right? But I think when we met, it's like, it was very overpowering. And so, while I maybe don't remember the lifetimes that you've talked about exactly, there is a very strong connection that I'm aware of.
Oh, yeah, it's cellular memory. I felt it too. And it's that thing of he's here again, like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just this big celebration.
Yeah, it's funny how we took this many years to, it's like, I guess the time was right. We had to wait till it was right, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, Rosalind will tell you we had to go through her, too.
Yeah, she says that, too. Right. That's her. That's another person that, if you're listening, I'm sure, you have a link to the site. So you can go check out Rosalind. You can check out my site out there. I started as just, I felt the urge to do this, you know, to express some of the strange things and interesting things that I find, and I just wanted to do a show. And then I met you through Rosalind, and then you expressed that you wanted to do a show, and you were really excited about it, and it's like, oh, she's got the same kind of thing as me. It's like, wow.
Yeah, see, we're really related.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So.
So here you are. This is now, this is actually your second show on your site, and.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
And you feel. You feel pretty comfortable doing this now?
Oh, I'm loving it. I'm having fun.
Yeah, it should
and
be.
And I'm really excited to hear about how people are receiving the information. I've been hearing back from people, so that's wonderful that it feels like it's helping people.
Yeah, and it has to be done the right way, doesn't it? You can't...
Mm-hmm.
It took me years to learn this, that you can't force or push too hard. You just have to allow it to be. And if you got a little humor, you can throw in there to keep it light. You know, sometimes we have some of that.
Yeah, just hearing you say humor makes me want to laugh all over.
So if you got a little bit of levity or, you know, makes it easier.
Yeah.
People don't, one, I don't take myself that seriously. I don't know about you, Joy. I'm guessing, well, I know you. I know you. So, I mean.
Like, do you really think I take myself seriously?
No. But I'm saying people, I think, are drawn more to, not that you're trying to draw people in, but I mean, if you have a message, you want, you know, you mm-hmm. kind of want them to hear it. But also, I let go of the thing as, if they don't want to hear it, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's totally their choice, and I think that's also part of the key ingredient is letting go and not worrying about anything.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, too, when you're having fun and you're laughing and you're enjoying what you do and you're not attached to anything,
yeah,
you're just in the present moment, and I think that's one of the reasons why I enjoy doing this with you so much. It's fun.
Yeah,
and we talk about all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, we cover a lot of different things.
And you know I do like to talk once in a while.
I get that from you.
I'm finally, I think you do, too.
I'm finally beginning to sense. My sense is maybe not quite as sharp, but I'm beginning to sense.
I think you enjoy talking, too.
Yes, I do. I like clowning around and making people laugh. I've always done that.
Yeah.
And I just like the feeling that you get when you can, you know, when you laugh and they laugh, or if they get you to laugh. And then somebody's laughter like yours makes me want to laugh.
Good.
Your laughter is intoxicating.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes, it's one of my greatest attributes. That's what they tell me.
Having a good laugh is means like you don't worry about what others are going to think. You just let it out, right?
Well, I don't know any other way to do it. I've tried containing it. It doesn't work.
Right.
So I just let it rip.
Yeah, why not?
Uh-huh. Well, you know, too, when you're laughing and you're having fun, you're raising your frequency.
Mm-hmm.
You're not even working hard.
Right.
I'm really into that.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to work
hard.
Yeah,
same here. What would be the lazy messiah? Whatever, we wrote a book or something. That'd be the name of it.
Yeah. Well, hey, did you ever, speaking of books, it reminds me, there's a book, it's called The Reluctant Messiah and Illusions.
Yes, yeah. I remember Illusions. I read that one.
Yeah, wasn't that good?
Yeah, that was
good. Well,
really...
now we have a spin on that book.
Oh, really?
The Lazy Messiah.
I'll get around to it. But you know what? When are you going to come walk on water today? You know, I'm kind of busy right now.
You know what, though? I think you can get more work done having fun anyway.
I agree.
Yeah.
And you've got to have a passion for what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
I was going to share some stuff, too, speaking of passion. One of the things, along with circuitry alignment and heart thread, that I have a passion for, and including angels, goddesses, gnomes, fairies, leprechauns, magicians, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love angels.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I never used to understand them. As a kid, to be honest with you, Joy, I was afraid of them. Anything godly in the religious sense scared me, because it's almost like you had a... If you didn't do things right, you were going to make it to this next place. And they came down and they were powerful, and they kept saying, "Well, they're loving beings." Yeah, but they're loving, but they're judging, and I couldn't put it all together. And it frightened me, and I think maybe it frightened a lot of people because you don't know what God is.
Mm-hmm.
And now my perspective of that is completely different, and my perspective of the angels. But go ahead.
Yeah. Well, what you're saying, when you were a child, you were afraid of them. When I was a child, I didn't really consider them.
Mm.
I didn't. I mean, I heard of guardian angels, but it wasn't something that I gave focus to or energy to. I was busy doing my thing, you know. But when I met Flo, I read this book, I Remember Union. I think I told you about it.
Right? Well, yeah, you certainly have, because I've read the book too. But
yeah. Yeah, well, in the book, they talk about the angels and, you know, how we're connected to them and how they're there to serve and all that. And I thought, after reading that book, I thought, well, I want to see if I have a connection to them. Now, I had locked myself out of the house. So what I did, I knew I didn't have keys on me. And I said to the angels, I said, look, I want to find out if you're real or what the deal is. And I said, I'm going to go and have a cup of coffee for a half hour. And when I come back, if you're real, my door will be open. So I went up the street and I had a cup of coffee for a half hour. And I came home and the door was wide open.
Wide open.
Wide open.
And you don't know how it got open.
Well, I know it was the angels, because then I started having other things happen. I had this air conditioner that when it got too cold, it would ice up. But the little dinky apartment I was living in at the time, it was too hot not to have an air conditioner. And I thought, oh, geez, how am I going to sleep? And I heard this voice telling me, don't worry about it. We got you covered. And I had been asking the angels for help with all this stuff. And so I plugged the air conditioner in and went to sleep and slept pretty well and woke up probably 6 hours later and realized that the air conditioner was unplugged.
Hmm.
When it got to the point it was dangerous, they unplugged it.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then I had something else happen that, and this was really profound. For years, 33 years, I had a sleep disorder. I couldn't sleep at nighttime. The only time I could go to sleep was when the sun was up. So what I did, I asked the angels. I said, listen, I said, I got this sleep disorder thing going on. Can you give me a hand? I really need to sleep. And I must have called in 20 angels. And they surrounded the perimeters, and I'm sure there was a sleep-inducing angel that was standing next to the bed. And I finally started to sleep, and I had a friend come to visit me. And she was clairvoyant occasionally. She didn't do it all the time, but sometimes she was more open than others. And on this one day, she came in and she said to me, my God, she said, the angels are all over your place. And I hadn't told her what I did.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it was them. So they helped me with that. And then I started to notice other things. Like when I started doing readings, I spent 10 years traveling the country and doing groups and radio, and people would call me and say, I have, you know, a group in this state, will you come and do readings for them and all that. So I spent a lot of time traveling, and I would take trains and different things. And so I remember this one time I had these suitcases, and I was concerned. I couldn't carry them. And all of a sudden, somebody came from out of nowhere and picked up my suitcase and put it someplace where it was convenient. And I turned around to thank them, and they weren't there.
Hmm.
And then there was other things that happened. Like this one time, I was on this train. I think it was the same trip. And this lady sat next to me, and she was bright. And for one thing led to another. And I was due in this town. I could have sworn I was due in this town on a Tuesday, and I got this train, and I'm sitting next to this lady, and it was funny, before I got on the train, everybody's wishing me a great trip, and this was my big coming out. This was the first trip I was doing. And I get on the train, I'm sitting next to this lady, and one thing leads to another, and I wind up doing a reading for this lady, and she pays me money for the reading. And I get in town, I call my friend, and I'm like, well, I'm here in town, I made it. And she's like, what do you mean you're here in town? I'm like, well, you know, I'm here. And she's like, no, you weren't due until tomorrow. And I'm like, well, isn't that interesting? Well, the lady gave me just enough money to cover the hotel bill.
Mm.
And when it was one of those instances, too, when I looked at to thank her, you know, she was gone, too. It was very synchronistic. And what I started discovering was that the whole thing with the angels and synchronicity and coincidence, that was so true, because I noticed one synchronicity, synchronistic event would lead to the next. And it became like a flow, and it would open doors, and it would spark delight, and it would make me laugh, and it was just like riding a wave. And I became really, really enamored with connecting with them, because I found that there was such fun, and I was getting so much done, and there was so much magic they were bringing to everything. So it's very magical stuff with the angels.
Yeah, and you know, now that I think about it, because I don't really know for sure, but there's been a number of times that something has protected me or helped me, or and you know, now that I'm kind of more I asked them to be involved in my life more. They have been, and I'm well aware that Michael's around me and whatever other archangels there are. But you know, I've told you some stories.
Yeah.
I believe I told you stories how I was in Wausau, Wisconsin, and the snowing. If it's snowing, it'd be pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And I was coming over the top of a hill, and at the bottom of the hill there was a vehicle maybe no more than 70 yards away. And I went to tap my brakes, and I started sliding. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to stop. I'm going to run right in. Now, I didn't think I was going to hurt him. I wasn't going that fast. I was maybe going 40 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. But I knew my vehicle wouldn't stop. And then on my right, you know, in the next lane, I thought, well, I'll just go over to the next lane. Well, there's a grader plowing the snow. That's how bad it was.
Oh, God.
And so this calmness came over me.
Uh-huh.
And this thought said, speed up. Cut your wheel when you get to the wagon. You'll shoot over into the right lane. You'll stop. You'll be fine. Now, who is going to think that you got to speed up in 70 yards? And that's exactly what I did. And I remember looking at the last second as I was turning the wheel, and I saw I came within an inch of that wagon, hitting it. And my car almost magically slid over into this right lane. Well, it did magically.
Yeah.
And instead of shooting through the lane, because I'm going fast, it came to a stop, and I was sticking out maybe a foot. Not even enough that was going to get in the way of traffic.
Wow.
And so, you know, at the time, being 19 years old, 18, 19, whoa, that was a good piece of driving. There was no angels there. I just did that all on my own. Look at me. Look at me.
Mario Andretti.
Yes. Richard Petty. All rolled into one.
Yes, indeed.
And I've had those things happen to me many, many times. But now where I live, things happen like, go check that door. Mm-hmm. Something tells me. And I'll go check it, like this garage door. I have this old garage, and it's a one door, you know, and something told me one day to go check it. Well, had I not checked it, one of my DJs would have come along and used the garage, and it wouldn't have been able to close, or they would have been stuck inside.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was just something like came loose with something, and I had to reinforce it. And once I did that, it was fine. But it's like things like that. Something tells me, go do this. It's like,
yeah.
Is it my guide? Is it the angel? What's the difference between a guide and an angel?
You know, my feeling about that is it's who you go to for assistance normally. In your case, because of what I know about you and your connection with Michael, I feel like Michael's the one who always gets your back. I do.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. He's wonderful. I love him too.
And there's many other archangels, too, that we work with. That we can work with.
Yes. So I had a thing when you're talking about protection and everything that I feel a lot of times that, like, you don't need keys and that kind of stuff when you have angels.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do. They get your back all the time.
Do you have to believe in them for it to work?
Well, I feel like it's an experience. I feel like first what you do is you build trust. It's like any relationship. You build trust. And then once the trust is there, you don't have to think about it. It's just constant.
What is the difference between an archangel or just, you know, I'm TJ the angel, here I am, da-da. Oh, I'm not an archangel. I haven't earned my wings like Clarence, you know, from that movie. You know which movie I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It's a Wonderful Life.
I do. It's a Wonderful Life. I love that movie.
Me too.
It's my Christmas ritual movie where every year, like clockwork,
me too.
I wrap Christmas gifts and I cry.
Yep. It gets me choked up, too. But we watch it with a few friends of ours, a couple of friends, and we'll go over there. We've been doing this back and forth every year for a number of years now. But what is the difference between an angel and an archangel? Do you know what that is?
In my perception, it's the job. That's what it is. I feel like not that one angel is more important than the other. It's not like that. We're all equal. I feel like archangels are given specific jobs concerning, like they'll deal with, Michael does protection, Gabriel does messages. But then there's guardian angels who will just look after you, watch your back from the time you're little. So they're not necessarily an archangel. The archangels do more global, general stuff. I think the other angels work more one-on-one.
Didn't you, and maybe you just said this you weren't referring that this was accurate, but or an actual thing happening, but you told me, like, my mom has chosen to come around me and kind of like be an angel, but she's really not an angel, or is she? I mean, how does that work?
I feel like now she is.
So she's...
Yeah, I feel like she raised her vibration. So her frequency is of the angelic vibration. And when I say people raise their vibration, I don't mean they're better than. I just mean that they've expanded to the point they can hold more light. And I really felt that your mom, from what I saw, was of the angelic vibration. It's interesting, too, because the life she led, she did these very angelic things, like she wouldn't kill any animals and all that kind of stuff. And I, you know, as we know, I didn't know any of that, you know.
No.
At least not, you didn't fill me in on it. So it just feels that that's where she is. When I see her with wings. And, of course, they shapeshift on the other side.
Right. Well, and I also think, you know, from what I understand, you know, talking to you and everybody else, my own feeling on things, my own, we don't have to sign up for something and be it for eternity. It's like, I wonder what it's like to be an angel. I'm going to try that for a while.
Yep.
And then, and kind of like with the archangels, well, this is what we want to be. We're going to be this. This is why we're archangels. We are going to continue to be this for as long as you are physical. And that's something they've signed up for. And maybe that, to me, explains the difference between an angel who might be just kind of, I do this now. This is my night job. I work at Walmart during the day.
Yeah.
That could be.
I bet people are going to go into Walmart and never look at anything the same. I wonder if that's an angel.
Well, it could be, right? Could be anywhere. Yeah. They could be anywhere.
I actually know a woman. She's very evolved. I'm not going to mention her name. She's incognito a lot. She works at Walmart, and she is such a light. She is such a light. She literally sends light to the earth, and she's just, So angels are everywhere. But please continue, Master TJ.
Thank you, Divine One. Well, you were going to, because this is not going to probably be as long of a show as we've done before. Both of us kind of have some other things on the pot, so to speak.
Yeah.
But you wanted to talk about, what was it called, TSP meditation?
Oh, T-shirts for Pieces Meditation.
Oh, yeah, because we were talking about, before we did the show, didn't you find that really interesting that that kid, he killed... I mean, it's all part of what's meant to be. Mm-hmm. It's still sad when it happens. He killed a very... I was reading more about it. This teacher was very likable. He tried to come between him and the students.
Yep.
And it turns out, you know, that he shot him. And then the kid... I think he tried to... He wounded one of a couple other kids, but he didn't kill any other ones.
No, he didn't kill them.
And then he turned it on himself. And he claimed some of it had to do with bullying. They believe now that maybe he was...
He was bullied.
Yeah. And so what's odd about this is that he didn't, well, you've been working on this.
Yeah.
But he didn't go and I'm sure you're not the only one working on it, but he didn't go and shoot up the whole school.
No. And there's this meditation, T-shirts for Peace, we started through a conference call where we're holding all the children around the world in safety and well-being. And there was another school shooting today, I found out, where there
really?
Were no children hurt. What has been happening is the shooters kill themselves, but they haven't been killing the children. They've been going after the teachers.
Mm.
So this meditation we're doing, we're going to continue to extend the exercise to include the teachers and troubled children.
And when is the meditation going to take place?
Well, we're going to do another one on the 30th of October at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And that'll be, there's a conference call-in number. I'm just going to grab it that people can call in. It's only 10 minutes, but we work together, unified as a group, and the call-in number is 605-475-4700, and the access code is 568-351. Pound. And what we'll do is keep doing this meditation twice a month. We'll do it once on a weekend day and once on a weekday, just to keep the energy very strong and clear as a container to hold the souls of all our kids. And it feels important we do that now because the messages the kids on the other side are getting, I think it was Rosalind, she did this with me the last time, and it was her. She heard the souls of unborn children saying, oh, we can go in now, it's safe, while we were doing the meditation.
Mm.
And I saw a release of terrified, troubled children who had been stuck, who couldn't make transition, released, and their souls lifted up. And I could see the energy going out to all these children that have been abducted and everything. So, and there's actually an Indigo young man who was on the call who sent the energies to their younger siblings, and it took one day, and the sibling had massive shifts. So there are things happening with us that we're excited about.
Now, when somebody calls into this, how do they participate? Do they just listen?
Well, what you do is you call in, we introduce ourselves, and everybody's happy to be together, so it takes us a couple of minutes to get started. But what I'll do is guide people into this exercise on how to send these safety bubbles and different affirmations to send to all the souls of the children, and we all do it together. It's not, I mean, you can sit and just listen, but you know, it's lovely if everyone participates.
So really,
because it has more and more juju to mm-hmm. it, you know, more and more power, and it's very unified then.
Okay. Well, I'm just curious how the process. I was going to call you that one time I fell asleep, and then this last weekend I was gone working, so maybe I'll remember on the 30th at 7 o'clock. Is that when
it goes? Yeah, 7 o'clock to 7:10.
Okay. What if you call early? I mean, does it have to be exactly at that point?
Well, if you call early, you might get either empty space or some other people who called early. And then if people call early, that's fine, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We don't want us calling at like 5 after. Oh, sorry about that. I'm a little late.
No.
Hey, we're in the middle of the meditation now. Keep her down.
Yeah, basically, if you can get in there by 7, it would be good.
Okay.
We usually start by 3 minutes after, and
okay. We
stop by 10 after.
Okay.
Right in there. But it would be great. I mean, whenever it works that you can come, we'd love to have you. And I just feel it's all divine timing, and who's ever meant to come shows up.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea that you all do affirmations together. That's great. So
thank you.
I'm just trying to paint a picture for people that are listening going, well, how does that work?
And you're doing a fine job. What would we do without you?
What is that device there? What do you use to, how do you connect? Well, it's called a phone. What's those things on there? Those are numbers. Oh, do you dial them? No, we don't have the rotary anymore so much. We don't have that.
So, I have this thing. You know, Halloween is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to do for Halloween?
I don't know. Probably not much of anything.
No?
I have to... I think I have to work a long day that day on Halloween. And then this program is probably going to air. But this Sunday night, I have a long night ahead of me because we're doing a radio station promotion event. So I won't get back till midnight or so, and I get up early, 4 o'clock. So I'll be kind of wiped out. And then Wednesday, which is Halloween, is that Wednesday? No, Thursday is Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. Maybe I'm not. I'm supposed to do a broadcast up in the town not far from here. So that's another. You know, I get done with my day and I drive up there and I won't get back till later at night. So it's a long day. So why? What are you asking? What am I supposed to do? Go around trick or treating? What do you want me to do?
I was just wondering if you were going to dress up this year.
No, I haven't done that in a long. Well, I haven't. I used to do that when I would work on it, when I actually had to do like a mobile DJ.
Mm-hmm.
1 year I dressed up as a pirate. Another year. This wasn't too long ago, neither.
I was like a
punk rocker and stuff like that.
Cool.
Yeah, I had all this stuff for it.
I'm dressing up this year again.
Are you really?
Yes.
Now, why do you like doing that?
Well, I love giving the kids candy.
Oh, okay.
I get such a kick out of them. I'm going out as the fairy godmother. And I have a light-up wand and a sparkly dress and a crown and the wings. And I wore them to the parade we had in town the other day, and the little kids were hysterical. One of them, I could telepathically hear her say, her eyes flew open when she looked at the wings, and she was telepathically telling me, I knew there was a fairy godmother somewhere.
Oh, that's cool.
But that's what I do. I use it as a time to... help kids remember magic.
Well, I thought maybe you were going to tell me something about, well, with your yard over there, maybe you should do something to, because this is really, also, isn't this a time of year when things seem to be more active because of...
Oh, yeah, I had some things happen. Oh, this is really wild. This one time, I was doing readings at this haunted restaurant up the street, and I had set up an altar for the dead, for the souls that made transition, and put the photos of people I know who had died, because they say this is the time of year when the veils are thinner and they come and visit more and all that kind of stuff.
And we're thinking about them, too.
Sure, more. Sure. Now, I personally, pardon the expression, I've been talking to dead people since I was a little girl, so never thought, oh, the veils are thinner, you know, just... always seemed like, well, that's what you do, you know? So I set up this altar, and after I was done doing readings at this restaurant that night, I went home, I went to bed, I still had my altar up. I woke up the next morning, and there, standing next to my bed, not saying a word, just looking at me, was the woman who haunted the house where I'd gone and done readings before. And she was just as almost as solid as I've ever seen anyone. And it was the first time I think I was a little startled by a ghost.
Right.
She just stood there. And then
go ahead.
She kind of evaporated. And it dawned on me that what she did was following me home because she wanted her honoring.
Mm.
And that's what they do sometimes. They'll just find this way. Of course, after I got done being startled, I mean, I was just waking up, you know?
Right.
I didn't even have a chance to say, yo, wait till I have my coffee, you know? So.
Do you ever have that problem where, because, I mean, you can flip it off like a switch?
Who, me?
Yeah, with the, you know, some people I've heard psychics, mediums say that, the spirits, sometimes they chatter, 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 and you got to learn how to shut it off and turn it back on.
I've had things happen where I've been inundated by them all at once. And years ago, I remember this one time, I had done readings all day, and this house that was hosting me was haunted too, and they had sent up this basement that was gorgeous for me to sleep in it, but I knew the place was so haunted, and before I went to sleep, I could feel them starting to come in, and I sat up and I said, look, here's the deal. I'm tired. I'm going to bed. I'm going to sleep. After I have my first cup of coffee, and back in those days I used to smoke, after my first cup of coffee and my first cigarette, then we'll chat. Hmm. So the next morning I get up. I did get to sleep that night, and I get up. I have my cup of coffee and my first cigarette, and I was standing outside. And all of a sudden, I started seeing these ghosts coming from these different buildings going, yoo-hoo, like, don't forget me. Mm-hmm. So, but to do that, I think sometimes people are afraid to do that. They think, oh, that's when somebody's, like, new, when they're talking to the spirits. As you get used to doing it, you realize that we do command spirits. We say what we choose and what we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting because I had that on my list of things I wanted to just discuss, that we have the right to discern and we have the right to choose what we do and don't allow. So we don't have to let anyone or anything in our field if we don't choose it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important that people know that, especially when you're in that realm, that it's not that you go in and take anything on. You can go and send light, which can shift things, but you don't have to take it on.
And you have power over it. It doesn't have power over you.
Well, it's not even that you have power over it. Well, in a way, you do. You can command the spirit and say, stop. You can do that, okay? I use that term. It sounds so biblical, but you can command what you will and won't allow.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That sounds very similar to the other weekend I was at somebody I know pretty well, and I've known her for a long time, and her family's been experiencing spirits and things around the house and seeing things and all these other things. But the young girl who seems to be probably the most gifted, who's maybe 19, 20, one time it touched her hair, and she said, that's enough, leave me alone, stop, and it stopped after that.
That's right. That's right on. Sounds like this 19-year-old, she's never had training or anything.
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
She's an indigo.
Could be.
I think I told you that.
I think
you want to tell about what that was like at that house? I know we have to go, but this sounds like it's a good story.
Well, once upon a time,
yes,
I was out in the woods with my sister Gretel. You know?
Yes. But seriously.
Left some breadcrumbs. That's all we had.
But seriously, what happened at this house? You went to a haunted house recently, didn't you?
If you want to call it that, I went with my friend Dan, Native American guy.
Yeah.
And I've gone more than once. And he's the one that, you know, I'm really not as interested in that stuff, but I'll help people if they want and I'll go with. And, you know, I'm kind of I don't know why people want me there. Maybe they feel comfortable with me. Maybe they know I can sense some things. But he's the one that deals with all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so,
it's your light.
Is that what it is?
You have light, and you're also a medium because you tend to bring, you know, you have a wide range of company that goes with you.
So Dan goes in there, and I was feeling things too. And for the first time in my life, I was really beginning to believe what I was feeling. In the past, I kind of ignore it, you know, and I think you've helped me with that. And so I was right about how many spirits were there. There were five.
Wow.
We eventually crossed over, and then I think there's maybe some more hanging around afterwards, but we had some difficulty doing that. But we went in one room, and I just took out my phone, and I got a pretty good phone, and I take video and just to see if I pick up something. I picked up four orbs, one actually coming out of the mirror, right as Dan was kind of trying to close it. Now, he would go over there and do, I don't know, it's probably different with everybody, but he has a standard Native American ritual that he does to close things. He put his hand on it. He said some things, and they, you know, burned some sage. And so afterwards, after I left the room, Dan went back in there with Roberta, is her name. And she saw something actually come right out of the mirror, like an orb of some sort. Mm-hmm. So they had a little bit of difficulty, but eventually they got it to work. And last I heard from the family, seems like, and they lived with this for 15 years. Imagine that, being afraid to tell. It wasn't like it was anything really horrible, but they would see things, and doors would open, and they'd see actual physical apparitions.
And
here they go through life thinking that they can't tell anyone because people are going to think they're nuts. And or they're going to be judged in some way. And isn't that sad?
Yeah,
and I remember I sent you an email on that. Isn't there any way that people that could get together and have like a psychic support group or Psychics Anonymous?
We need to have a show on that.
And so people could come out of the closet, so to speak, and say, you know what? There's nothing wrong with this. And
that's
I bet it's a majority of people that see these things.
Yep.
So in the end, we were.
I think
Dan was pretty effective in removing those things, and I guess time will tell. But the one daughter is very gifted, so she's probably going to have more around her.
Hmm? Yeah, she will, because she's also open to receiving and speaking to them, and it feels like it's part of what she's here to do. And she's learned to not be afraid of them.
Yeah.
So once you're not afraid, you can converse. It's like, you know how when people are afraid of people, they avoid them.
Yep.
It's the same thing. Once you like people, there's all kinds of people that'll come and chit-chat with you. Same thing with spirits. But yeah, thank you for going and doing that work. Look at you, master.
Had nothing better to do that day, you know. No, I'm just helping people out if they ask, but it was a good learning experience for me, too. So.
Yeah, but you're such a natural.
You keep saying that.
Well, it's true. Somebody needs to keep reminding you, you know?
Well, we're just about out of time.
I know. It's a good thing you keep track of that for us.
Is there, well, in this dimension it exists. I'm sorry.
No, I know.
Actually,
I know.
It doesn't exist. So what, anything else you want to close with or just add to this?
No, I just wanted to say, seriously, if anyone's interested in contacting me or Soul Support Systems for the workshop, there are some spaces left, and it feels like it's going to be a pretty profound workshop. I'm very excited to go and be with everyone, and the work is amazing.
Now, where is this going to take place?
This will be in Hazleton,
and
it's 5 days.
Hazleton,
Pennsylvania.
Indianapolis, or
Pennsylvania.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Indianapolis.
That's right.
Is not
We're
a
not
state.
In the same state. But and I want to thank you again for your time and all your efforts and being my co-host and doing this with me.
You're welcome.
Yes, and thank the listeners. Woohoo!
Thank you. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Joy.
Have a good week now.
Thank you.